Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 12. Starting in verse 10, the Word of God says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto the death." This is how we overcome the devil. Sometimes believers think that there is no devil in the world. Now, they will not tell you this because they know theologically that that's not correct, that there is a devil in the world. But in their speech and in their actions, in the things that really reveal what their thoughts are, they think that there is no devil in the world. And they are overcome by the devil, because they do not utilize the blood of the Lamb. They do not utilize properly the word of their testimony. And they love their own lives. And the devil overcomes them. If I'm a person who does not know how to utilize the blood of Christ, who does not know how to have the proper testimony, and I don't mean necessarily Christian testimony, like Christians frequently use the term, I mean what comes out of our mouth. That's the word of our testimony. What comes out of our mouth? If I don't know how to guard my heart and guard my words, if I don't know how to make my words be seasoned with salt so they may minister grace to the hearers, then I will be overcome by the devil through my own words. If I don't know how to love not my own life, then I will be overcome by the devil. This is the provision that God made to stand firm against the wiles of the devil. The blood, the right confession, and the cross. That's the provision that God gave. He didn't give any other provision. He gave the blood, the right confession, and the cross. The devil, and listen to this carefully, because this is the strategy that is used against many, many Christians. Christians confess negativity and the atmosphere is listening closely. And by confessing the wrong things, by confessing their emotions, by confessing their frustrations, by confessing these things, they think they're letting out some steam. What they are in fact doing is they are basically doing reconnaissance for the devil's side. They are providing intelligence for the devil's side. What makes you tick? What makes you ticked off? What gets under your skin? What hinders you? What incapacitates you? What is effective? What is not effective in the devil's strategy? That is very frequently revealed by the wrong words of testimony. People grumble, they complain. Some woman complains about her husband to her girlfriends. And maybe he's a godly guy, but he's not a perfect guy. And so she complains to her girlfriends about her husband. What she is doing is she is telling Satan exactly what strategy he needs to use against her and her relationship to her husband. You never utter the wrong words. And people will say, well, that's putting me in a box, and that means I can't tell what I feel like, and who do I talk to? You can have a confidant who's Spirit-filled, yes. However, the way that most Christians speak, it's not a confidence with a Spirit-filled confidant, it's gossip. And sometimes it's gossip about their own lives. And what they're doing is they're providing intelligence to the devil's kingdom on how to attack them and the people in their lives. We have to realize in our relationships that we are not just in a relationship. In other words, if I have a friendship, I'm not just in a friendship. If I'm married, I'm not just in a marriage. I may be in a friendship or a marriage, but I am in that friendship or in that marriage or whatever other type of relationship you may have on a battlefield. And that battlefield is where I live and where all these things play out. And so I don't confess negativity, I don't confess frustration, I don't let somebody have it because of my attitude, I don't let somebody have it because I'm carnal, I don't let somebody have it because I'm emotionally oriented, because not only is that carnality in me, it is providing weaponry and tools and intelligence for my enemy. And you will find that people who live in this become more and more bitter, become more and more resentful, become more and more frustrated, become more and more angry, because they are telling the atmosphere and the demons of the atmosphere exactly how to attack them. It's like putting a target on yourself. It's like saying to the enemy camp, there's my ammunition stores, there's my barracks, there's my weapons, this is where they all are. These are the coordinates for these things. Christians do this all the time. They have the wrong testimony and they are overcome by the devil. They preserve their lives, they preserve their rights, they preserve their pride, they preserve their arrogance, they preserve their unkindness. And they justify it and rationalize it because of their emotions. Because they are not teachable in some cases, so that the Word of God cannot come in and correct them when it takes place, and they justify it with their own carnality. Well, this is the way I feel. I can't be a hypocrite. What is more hypocritical, confessing truth from God and living in that, or confessing a lie from your emotions and living in that? What is more hypocritical, being a Christian and keeping your gaze on Christ, or saying I'm a Christian and living in self-centeredness, self-orientation, moods, personality deficits, living in unkindness, living outside of the character of God? These people are being overcome by the devil. And quite frankly, he's using that in their lives to overcome other people through them. I saw that movie Lincoln recently. Good movie. Interesting. And this is not like, but I think this is a good example of what takes place. That man had a profound call on his life. Unfortunately, in the movie, they don't show what an amazing Christian he was, how much time he spent in prayer, and how careful he was in the Word of God, and his application of that Word in his life, and his decisions as president. They didn't represent that. Mr. Spielberg, you could have done better. But they did represent one thing. He represented his humanity. But he said to his wife, and his wife was difficult, and she's, you know, gone through history as being known as being difficult for whatever reason. That's not really a judgment on her. She had difficult things to deal with. He said to her that he has to face certain things that are very hard. It was her choice. She could support him in it, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, she could support him in it and it would be very difficult and hard, but possible. Or she could oppose him in it, it would do them anyway, but it would be unbearable. You see, she had a choice, he said to her. And you know what? He was right. Even in that movie, they said, he was right. We have this choice. We can express the love of God to people, and they will have times of abounding and abasing, and sometimes these things will be difficult. Or they can express the attitude of the atmosphere, justifying it with emotions or moods or whatever. People justify it with a number of different tiredness, whatever, not feeling good. And they make things unbearable instead of difficult for those people around them who are going through difficult things. Likewise with them. People can be kind to them and their difficulties will be difficult. People can be unkind to them and their difficulties will be unbearable. You see, we make this big difference. And when we are overcome by the devil, it's not just us that's being overcome. The devil overcomes us so that he can overcome others as well. If he can wipe out a whole group through overcoming, he's much happier. The first thing that we need to do to become overcomers, and this is not a message about the second two, I just thought it was important to mention them as well, that we draw near to the Word of God so that we have the right testimony, we confess according to the Word of God. It's not a lie, it's a faith confession. Faith confessions are not lies. You're not claiming something that it isn't so. You're claiming something that God said to be so. Often complaints are lies. We don't see them as lies because we see them perhaps as factual. But they go in contrast to what God has said. And so they are in fact lies. We need the cross. Because without a cross, we don't have a chance. The number one thing that Satan likes to use in the believer's life is self-orientation. If I'm living in self-orientation, I'm giving the enemy a big handle with a welcome sign on it. Not to possess if I'm a believer, of course, but to seriously influence, to overcome me. And so I need a cross not to be overcome. But the first thing that I need is the blood of the Lamb. I cannot become an overcomer without the blood of the Lamb. The blood is what allows for the other two to exist. Let's take a look at this. And they overcame him. Overcame is in the aorist active. They, being the subject of this sentence, did the overcoming. That's the active voice. The subject produces the action of the verb. The interesting point here is that overcame is an aorist tense. That means they entered into something eternal. Aorist indicates a truth, a reality that goes on with no mention of past or origin and no mention of conclusion or a time when it would end. No indicator of time of any sort whatsoever. So this is entering into an eternal reality when I become an overcomer. It's referring to becoming an overcomer through the eternal blood of Christ and how that blood infuses me into eternity, which is exactly why I could be predestinated to heaven as a born-again believer, but other people who are not born again are not, in fact, predestinated to hell, even though they're going there. It's because they simply did not get infused into eternity through the blood by mixing faith with what they heard, by receiving the gospel, by accepting the Savior. And when they did not do that, in eternity, there is no place found in them with God. And this is why at the White Throne Judgment, these people will have no place found for them. Because they have entered into God's realm within eternity. The only place for them, unfortunately, and it is absolutely heartbreaking, is what God had prepared for the devil and the angels in punishment for their rebellion against Him. We didn't belong there, and no human does. But since there is no place found in eternity, that's where they end up. And so, they were not predestined for heaven. Because they never took on that eternal condition that's given by the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By, it's the word dia. And dia is referring to here the grounds of victory and not the means of victory. It's an important word here. It's talking about the grounds, the foundation of victory, but not the means of victory. And so what Revelation 12:11 is giving is the grounds and the means, the foundation and the means, the basis on which I have victory, and then the means of my victory. So what it is talking about, it's taking care of an eternal condition and is giving me the means by which I enter into that eternal condition. So I overcome the devil on the foundation of the blood of the Lamb. And that is the foundation, that is the grounds. And then the condition, the actual overcoming, the means of it, takes place by the word of my testimony and by not loving my own life unto the end. So the blood is what provides for my word and for the cross to be efficacious in my life. Without the blood, there is no efficacy of the word and there is no efficacy of the cross. Because the blood must come first. The blood was shed before the death took place. After the death took place, the blood was no longer shed. Why? Because it was no longer blood. When the centurion pierced his side, the components of the blood, we are told, separated. The water left the blood. And this has many applications. But one of those applications is that it had to come before the death, or it would not be efficacious. In other words, if Jesus had not bled, since He carried the sins of the whole world on Him, if He started to bleed after He died, then He would have been lost. If He started to bleed after He died, I would have been lost. And so, it was the foundation of the blood that makes the word and the death effective. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And what that means is release. There is no release from my sins without the shedding of blood. Well, if we take a look at Luke chapter 6, we find that when Jesus said, "Forgiven, you shall be forgiven," what He's talking about is release a prisoner. We apply the blood in order to overcome the devil. Now, when I overcome by the blood, I cannot be condemned. The blood removes all condemnation. Why? Because the blood releases the sin from me. It takes that sin away from me. It removes it from my existence. It removes it from my history. People think, how can it remove it from your history? You're looking at time linearly. On earth, time is linear. In heaven, it doesn't even exist. So we don't look at linear time. We look at eternal reality, eternal truth. And there is release there through the blood. So the devil cannot condemn me. In Zechariah chapter 4, when the devil tried to condemn the prophet, God rebuked the devil. And essentially what He said to the angel was, go minister to that prophet. He said, give him new garments. Garments speak of lifestyle. Now the priest Joshua came out of Babylon and he learned a Babylonian lifestyle. And so it was a filthy lifestyle compared to the righteousness of God. Yes. Now keep in mind, this man was called by God as a high priest and he was one of the two olive branches. And so you know that he had a powerful anointing, even though he was brought up in an ungodly culture. And what God is saying to the angel there, in a sense, is minister to him. Minister to this man so that his lifestyle will change. You do it for him, angel. And likewise, we cannot be condemned. There is no condemnation because the blood has been shed. In a practical sense, I apply the blood. I apply the blood and it cleanses my conscience. I apply the blood and it cleanses my thinking. I apply the blood and it cleanses my memory. I apply the blood and I have regard for the blood. And I recognize that the work of the blood is the reality in my life. And Satan cannot take advantage of me there. If I fail, I say, God, I confess my failure. Thank you for the blood. My failure has been removed by the blood as far as the east is from the west, and it has been not just removed from me, but from the mind of God. So He has no recollection of my failure, and neither do I. I never deny the blood. Sometimes you say, I don't talk about things because why? Well, we'll say they're covered by the blood, or God has forgiven those sins. Here's the thing. Both of those statements are fine in and of themselves as far as the person's heart goes, but they're not correct statements. I don't talk about my failure because it doesn't exist. I don't talk about sin because it's been removed from me. I don't remember it because it never took place in my history. And they say, well, what do you mean it doesn't take place? I can remember. You're remembering falsely. God removed it from your history. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And He did it with the blood. And so as a believer, I don't give more regard for my neural impulses than I do for the Word of God. Because that's all that is. A thought is nothing more than a neural impulse flying through my brain. Then ions changing places on the membranes of my neurons. That's all that a thought is. Ions changing places on certain membranes in certain neurons. That's it. Yet people have more regard for ions than they have for the Word of God. And they say, but I can't control these ions. That's not true. You most certainly can. The Word of God can control your memory, your thinking, the truth. If I'm to live in objective truth, I have to live in the objective Word. Apart from that, there is no truth. If I don't enter that place, then I will be overcome by the devil. Guilt, condemnation, shame, sorrow, fear, bad self-image. All these things that come along with it, self-consciousness. All these things that come along with sin are removed by the blood. So I don't hold on to things that God has removed. I don't call reality what God says He doesn't know. Because then I would be more all-knowing than God. And that's not possible, of course. We have to be extremely careful, because when I try to do that, my capacity will be overcome by the devil. Applying the blood opens a person's capacity. And when their capacity is open and their thinking is correct, their physiology will respond to their thinking. And so, we apply the blood. Now here's the other thing. When I apply the blood, there is no condemnation of me, nor is there condemnation of anyone else. sometimes believers can be overcome by the devil, not through the condemnation the devil would throw their way, but through the condemnation that the devil uses through them to condemn somebody else. When a believer refuses to give grace, pure, unadulterated, wholesale grace, nothing but grace, to other believers, the devil is overcoming people through that believer. The devil has expression through that believer. When that believer won't live in the finished work as produced by the blood of the Lamb. And so he uses it to overcome others. But we overcome the devil by utilizing the blood. So what does that look like? Somebody does something against me. I don't wait for them to ask for forgiveness. I forgive them instantly. Because if they are a believer, then they are most definitely cleansed in the blood, even if they are being carnal at the moment. They are still cleansed by the blood. And so I cannot turn around and point any sort of a finger at them, because God will call me a liar, since the blood has removed their faults, their sins, their iniquities, whatever they did, from God's memory. All it will do is leave me very frustrated, saying, God, why aren't you doing something about it? And God will answer, because there's nothing going on. But God, I'm suffering here. You're suffering because you're self-oriented in your circumstance. Stop being self-oriented and your suffering will go away. No, I'm suffering because of what they're doing. God says, I don't see anything wrong in them. I don't see a spot or a blemish. God, did you see what they did? God, did you hear what they said? I see nothing wrong in them. All I see is that the blood is applied. And that's all I see. And it's applied to their entire life. It's not applied just to one or two details. And that's what I see. I see a person who has place in eternity. That's what I see. I see a citizen of the New Jerusalem. I see a member of my body. I see my bride. That's what I see. The reason why you're suffering in that circumstance, in that situation with that person, is because you are self-occupied. Don't be self-occupied and you will not be suffering. And this is what Moses told the Israelites in the desert, in the wilderness, when he set up a brazen serpent upon the pole and said, by God's direction, whoever looks at the brazen serpent will live. In other words, whoever looks at God, whoever keeps Christ in their focus, whoever is occupied with Christ, with the Word of God, will live. And the others will die of their snake bites. Don't die from your snake bites. Just a little bit of advice. Don't die from your snake bites. Be occupied with your Savior, not with yourself. Notice that the cross was high. The brazen serpent was not at the bottom of the pole, he was at the top. Christ, when he was crucified, was not at the bottom of the cross, he was at the top. Why? So that you had to look up rather than down. You look down, you see yourself. You see your feet, your experiences. You look up, and all you see is a Savior. Always apply the blood. Always apply the blood. In 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. The wicked one cannot touch the one who is born of God. Who is it that's born of God? It's the one who has received the blood's effect in their life. The cleansing of the blood. And so the wicked one cannot touch us because of that blood. Why can he not touch us? Because there's nothing to touch. He can't accuse us because there's nothing to accuse. He can't call us guilty because we have no guilt. He can't condemn us because there's no fault. He can't say anything about us whatsoever without being rebuked by God. Even if our lifestyle is wrong, even if we're living in carnality, even if we do need chastisement from God, the devil cannot touch us. Why? Because of the blood. The blood was shed for the Spirit-filled believer and for the carnal believer just as much. And so we are cleansed by that blood. So the devil cannot touch us. He cannot frustrate our capacity. He cannot hinder us. He can do nothing with us. He can do nothing to us except this. If he can trick us into buying his package of goods, than we do to ourselves. Just like Eve, he had to convince her that he was telling the truth and God was lying. And then Eve made her decisions according to his deceptions. He can do that in our lives. He can deceive us. And then we start making decisions according to his deceptions. And then we remove ourselves. And this is how he overcomes. This is why the blood is the foundation for overcoming. Because the blood takes away any justification, any rationale, any truth to what the devil might throw against us is in the blood. The blood deals with anything that is not of faith. Because in Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And in Revelation 1:5, it cleanses me from all sins. So any moment where I'm not operating in faith, the blood cleanses me of that. This is why I have to instantly operate in grace. I have to instantly forgive if somebody does something against me. I have to instantly be merciful to somebody perhaps who's failing. I have to be gracious. I have to represent God's character to these people. And I have to do that to myself too. Why? Because if I'm not doing that instantly, then I'm not operating in faith and it is sin. So to not forgive is sin. To not give mercy is sin. To not give grace is sin. To not be compassionate is sin. And then I need cleansing by the blood. How many people criticize? They look for things to criticize. You ever meet somebody like that? They talk to someone and then they criticize them. They go someplace, they criticize it. They eat something and they criticize. Everything is criticism. They're not applying the blood. We don't live in criticism. We live in the blood. This is the victory that overcomes the world in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Our faith. Our faith in what? In the blood. Our faith in the blood. No faith in the blood and I become overcome. I put my faith in the blood and I become an overcomer. If I become an overcomer, it can only take place on the foundation of the blood. But the results are profound. Because in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26, if I apply the blood and overcome, then I start to reign with my Savior. He gives me authority, power over nations. And He gives me the morning star. and he gives me a rod of iron to rule with. And that's not harshness, that is doctrine. He gives me a standard of the Word of God to rule with. But before I can rule over any nation in eternity, I have to be able to rule my own spirit, my own soul in time. And I do it on the basis of the blood. And by the means of the Word and the cross. The one who can rule his own heart, his own spirit, the Word of God tells us is greater than one who can take a city. And that's talking about a nation. Why does it use that? Because the overcomer rules over nations in eternity. And so by the blood, I learn to rule my own heart, my own soul, my own mind. And by the blood, I reign with Christ as I've learned to rule my own life. Not through my will, but through the finished work, which is founded in the blood. And then through the application of God's Word, giving me the right confessions, and the cross giving me the right life. Amen?